You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We have a fun guest with us today.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Here we
are. Very dear friend. You've been on a few things with us, but Mr. Seth Dahl.
Hello.
He's back.
He's back. And you're not on the TV screen.
I'm not on Zoom.
Or Zoom call.
Yeah, I'm here in person.
Live and in person.
The reason why you're here in person is because of my book is coming out, Imperfect Parenting, and we've been doing a series on that. Had some amazing people that I all love dearly. But you and I have hosted a podcast for two seasons. We're just starting our third one. I've had it for four seasons, but it was called
Coffee Kids and Crazy.
That's it. And we have just changed the name to Imperfect Parenting. Yeah.
So we're trying to move the whole crowd now.
I know. Mm-hmm.
All the way, because I had somebody ask me, how do I can't find this podcast, Imperfect Parenting. I said, well, it's still on Coffee Kids and Crazy, but it will be easier to find. Because your book title and everything we'll do around imperfect parenting, we'll just keep saying it over and over.
Yeah. If you've subscribed to Coffee Kids and Crazy,
it'll automatically update for them.
You won't lose it. It'll still be there. So
you might wonder, though, what this new one is if you don't know this is coming. You're like, that's not,
here it comes.
How did I subscribe to this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've just done some filming for that. Mm-hmm.
With Ben.
With Ben, because he's the new addition to the podcast.
There we go.
Once a month, and I, which we usually have to bash them because you don't live in California.
Yeah.
You live in Texas.
We film days and days.
Days and days. Have lots of fun. And so it was just once a month. But now we've added Ben.
Week.
And Ben and I take the rest of the weeks, and you always help us open up every month from this point on. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. So,
and you guys elaborate and unpack a bit more throughout the rest of the month.
Yep. Which I think is, I love the setup because it's kind of fun to have you kick it off with whatever hot topic that we've chosen.
Sex. And we talk about sex a lot.
Seems to be a relevant topic.
Yep.
Yeah. Seems to be one that everyone's afraid of too.
Confusion.
Yeah, we went all over the place. So it's going to be a good season.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun adding Ben into the mix. So, but because of all that, actually our first episode that's going to release with you and Ben with the new podcast name, we're talking about being an engaged parent and engaged parenting, because that is kind of the phrase I'm coining for my book is being an engaged parent.
And some of that also comes from the other parenting styles that you and I've been talking about off and on too, and Ben, there's a lot of different parenting styles out there, and you are locking in engaged parenting.
Engaged parenting, yeah. That's the style I'm fighting to, I guess, create a movement around, is that we want to be engaged parents and do it well. And yeah, so, but Dad, you're on this podcast too.
I am. Here I am.
Yes, over here.
This is the Kylo Show.
It is the Kylo.
I'm still.
Seth and I just have so much.
We've been doing this nonstop for three days, so we're just like.
I know.
I had to remind myself, it's the Kylo Show. Yeah. We're on the Kylo Show right now.
This is the fifth episode, so you guys have been plunking away.
Well, I mean, this topic we've been at it. So we had Mom and Ben on and Angie Taylor, which is our kids principal technically at Valor Global Online. And we had the kids on here. You got kicked out for a moment, but it's
displaced.
All right.
I just feel displaced.
Mm-hmm. It's just your legacy on display.
Displaced parenting.
That's it. Legacy on display.
Yeah, that's all it was.
There we go.
So but you know, you are older than us and you grown up with different parenting styles, obviously have a degree in social work. What did you grow up with and or are you familiar with when it comes to parenting styles?
Personally, I think, you know, I was raised by a single mom, so she was at work. She was at work, and she would come home in the evenings. She'd make dinner. We would scramble around and pretend like we did homework or something. And then we were up in the morning and gone again. So, you know, we didn't see a lot of her. And then she was trying to live her life. And, I mean, she was 24 when they divorced. Mm. So I was...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's young.
That's young. And my little brother was 1, and I was 5. And so moved to a little town, Weaverville, and it was crazy. My dad just disappeared, so it uninvolved. He showed up when I was in 7th grade, kind of out of nowhere. I went and stayed summer with him, and that was it. That was my my time with my dad. I had a stepfather from the ages of 12 to 15. My mom married a guy, and that was about as close to a normal family I ever had, really, was, they were very involved. It was kind of authoritarian in some ways. I mean, he was very much a big presence. But it was just in comparison to a really passive mom. You know, she was just let's do whatever we wanted, and she was tired.
Yeah.
But the 3 years he was there, which were pretty formative years for me, you know, that's a lot of...
You still reference a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard the most about Del.
Yeah.
Out of all of the...
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, he
building brought, chicken coops, even, you're referencing it.
He brought the farming and the gardening and the wood splitting and the hunting and four-wheeling and camping. And he brought all that into my life in 3 years. And then, poof, he's gone when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And so I left when I was 16, moved in with my girlfriend and her mom. And that was, you know, basically like living on your own. And so I had a crazy life.
You kind of had all of the parenting styles
What do you call the parenting style where mom is at work all the time, just totally passive?
Or uninvolved?
Well, I mean, it had a lot to do with her makeup. You know, she's a pretty passive lady, and... I mean, she'd blow up here and there. You know, you had to really, really cross the line. But she'd come after you with the belt, you know. So it was nothing, screaming belt.
Yeah.
You know, okay, everything's back to chill again. It wasn't very often. But, yeah, that was kind of our rhythm. Lots of chaos. I'll just call it chaos. Kind of neglectful chaos,
neglectful.
For the bulk of it. Whoa. But you know, she loved us. She took care of us. You know, it was not like
abusive.
Yeah, it wasn't like neglect. It was just a wiped out, tired mom that was trying to have a life too.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. The two of you are some great men that I admire very much, and what you've created in your own families is phenomenal. Seth, you were raised...
Single mom, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what... all that story, I don't know that that's the same story that you have, but you found Jesus later on and all that as well. So what is that? Do you have any of those in there?
Yeah, I think my mom, she was also a single mom, but she... got a job at my school. Okay. So for a long time, I would just ride with her to school. So we had time in the morning. Then she, after work, I would stay there a little bit. So I think she was doing what she could to be in my life more, understanding that she didn't have tons of time to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think she made pretty good money too in all of that. So she had us in a good me and then later my sister when she got remarried, but had us in a good neighborhood. So it was like, we weren't like in danger much, you know, it was pretty safe. And, but yeah, she was, I would say my mom was more, she was engaged when she could be. She was involved, but probably authoritarian as well. Pretty controlling. I don't know if she had any other tools or any other options that she was aware of in that, you know, it's kind of like, you got this kid, he's a little bit rambunctious.
And, a little bit like your voice.
Yeah, try to make sure he does the right thing and makes the right choice. And so, yeah, I didn't get to just do whatever I wanted. I had to watch out. Mom was watching kind of a lot.
I was outside a lot.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the thing, go outside, go outside. You guys go outside. If it wasn't raining or snowing or something, go outside. So we were just like dogs, you know, we're just like outside all the time.
Around.
Yeah, running around the neighborhood in the pack with other kids who had the same kind of philosophy. But it was trees and creeks and trails and mountains.
So it
wasn't like the hood or something. I wasn't out there, you know, trying to not be in a gang.
Unless Weaverville was trying to create one.
Yeah, we tried to create a couple gangs. We tried to create a couple gangs, but there's just nothing to do. You know?
That's nothing to do.
That's hilarious. We had a green belt, like a bike trail wooded area below us, like down our street. And it was, so I started Club Columbus. Because we were the explorers, like Christopher Columbus. So we were a lot of pocket knives, and we couldn't take any fire.
I remember sitting around in my friend Steve's living room trying to think of gang names. You know, like
Steve
Scorpions, you know, or whatever.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my Scorpions. Goodness, that's
leather jackets and stuff?
Yeah, or just, you know, just, you know,
slipping back the hair, cigarettes
on
the
T-shirt. It wasn't like West Side Story, the Fonz or anything. Okay, that old. Okay. Come on, man. This was the 80s.
Sorry. Is it the 80s?
No, I was in the 80s.
It was the 70s.
I was, like, no, I was born in the 80s.
In the 80s.
That was not true.
It was the 70s.
What point?
So, it wasn't the 50s. That's my point. Okay. The Fonz was not part of this, okay?
Oh, yes. I love how we've gone astray.
I know.
So
parenting styles.
What I was thinking about your social work background and all different parenting styles that you've seen. You know, we talk about the authoritarian, the passive, the uninvolved, and the authoritative, and what they all mean and what the goal is. You know, which I've changed the authoritative to being engaged. Mm-hmm. I want to be an engaged, which I just blend in a powerful person. A self-aware person and a mom that or dad that wants to be involved, you know. So that's kind of my mindset there. But Seth had mentioned that there's those are the categories, if you will. But there's other names like the helicopter parent, the drill sergeant parent. I know Love and Logic. Mm-hmm. That's what I think about when I hear about helicopter or drill sergeant. What do you see is happening a lot today when it comes to different parenting styles? Because I know that we see different patterns, but I don't know if you're picking them up. I don't know, when you're out and about in different places, that might be different than when you were raising me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as a social worker, you're primarily involved in some pretty stressed out, broken environments, you know. So most of the folks in those environments are, you know, they didn't finish their education. They're impoverished at some level. There's generally substance abuse, you know. So blend all that together and shake real hard. And, you know, you have a pretty steady drip of, you know, there's always the authoritarian. There's some abusive somebody that's trying to gobble up all the power to protect themselves. There's usually some codependent that's attached to that that is trying to survive it. And, you know, be a good parent, but still – understands that you can't do much with the screamy, yelly, violent person. And then there's the people that just avoid it all. You know, they just they seem irresponsible and neglectful and very self-centered, but they're just scared and shut down too. You mm-hmm. know, so I think all of those styles have tons of fear. You know, the authoritarian is scared. Mm-hmm. The passive is scared. The absent is scared. You know, they're all trying to survive. I think this authoritative or this Love and Logic calls it the consultant parent mm-hmm. or this engaged parent really is empowering. Mm. They are giving power to the family members so that everyone can participate fully, learn to be responsible, learn how to handle freedom, learn how to deal with choices, learn how to protect relationships. That is a totally different dynamic because it's really rooted and grounded in love, connection, self-control. Mm-hmm. So I think the two, we're back to love and fear.
Yeah.
And when things are rooted in fear, it's absolute chaos and classically destructive. When it's rooted in love, it is a completely different environment and a completely different experience.
I think what I've noticed is, and this is where you kind of brought this into all of us, like in my age, like, whoa, I never heard about fear involves punishment. Mm-hmm. And so we were all like, punishment is now bad. Don't punish your kids. Mm. This is, whoa, like you wrecked our minds with that. Mm-hmm. And
you're welcome.
And thank you.
Anything I can do.
And you said, you know, boundaries without freedom is control. And I think a lot of people heard that really strong. I don't know if, in my observation, especially with Christian parents, I think people heard that so strong. Don't punish. Don't use fear. Fear removes love. We don't want to remove love from our home. Love will push out the fear. And boundaries with no freedom is control. We don't want control. We want self-control. I think they heard all that and missed, well, freedom with no boundaries is chaos. And I think they missed, not all of them, some that I've seen, have moved towards, well, now I give all freedom. They swung the pendulum the other way. I have so much freedom, not very many boundaries, and now we have chaos in the home, and they miss that whole part of freedom and boundaries is what we're going for, which sounds engaged, not passive, not. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've seen is I feel like, what we're dealing with now is this, oh, we got a lot of parents that are really good at freedom and really good at like trying not to punish and not control.
But a bunch of chaos.
But a bunch of chaos, a lot of chaos. That's predominantly who I deal with is like, oh, you got a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. And your amount
everyone's
of chaos.
Everyone's begging for peace. I just want peace in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want my kids to listen. That requires boundaries and some consistency mm-hmm. in their life. And that's what I've seen is like everyone was hungry for this because they're like, we don't like control. We were all controlled. We were all authoritarian, that whole thing, and then go the other direction.
Yeah. Well, there is this whole there is success in tyranny.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is. You can run a whole continent with tyrannical rule. It's just no fun for everybody who's not part of the tyranny.
Yes, so it's not how it works.
Yeah, you know,
that's why there's all the riots.
Uh-huh. It works. It's just no fun.
Yeah.
So, and that's the same problem because if you never learn self-control, if you never learn to value relationships, if you don't ever take personal responsibility for your life and your constraints, then you need a tyrant. You know, that's what prisons are for. Mm-hmm. Prisons are a tyrannical environment because everyone inside lacks self-control and love. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to happen. If you escape that and you swing over to the other side, you just create chaos, mm-hmm. which is inviting tyranny, which, you know, when you disrupt a society so severely that it looks chaotic, the sane people say, bring the tyranny, bring all the control, bring the cops and the army and martial law and protect us.
We took them all away.
We welcome it. You're like, okay, well, that's the recipe of going right back into tyranny is you invited chaos. So, neither one of them are any fun.
No.
Neither one of them are any fun. So the middle really is freedom. And freedom is just soaked with personal responsibility. Or it's chaos. Yeah. It's not freedom. And being responsible, you being responsible for me, is the beginnings of tyranny. So, you know, you have this place in the middle where you're very deliberately empowering your child to practice self-control, responsibility, and love so that they search for that mm-hmm. when they go from your home. They search for it. They don't search for chaos, and they don't search for tyranny.
Meaning the culture we create in our home is typically what our children go look to recreate or become a part of as soon as they're gone.
Right. Or if it needs a solution, they're also looking for the solution to it.
Mm-hmm. Which is the opposite usually in their mind.
So they're saying things like, I'll never do what my parents mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. Or I want what my parents had.
Yeah.
But now I got to go find somebody that can do it.
Yeah.
Because it's not common in a lot of family experiences. You know, your kid goes to college or wherever, and they go out there and they're, hey, you want to do normal with me? And they're like, yeah. And they bring their normally. Whoa, that's not normal. Yeah. How are we going to do this? And so, your kids, raised in freedom, can smell tyranny. And they can smell chaos. And so healthy begets healthy. Unhealthy never begets healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you
can't.
So you're really trying to infuse your kids with health so that they go look for it. And they resist unhealthy. But if you think that controlling your kids was healthy,
because they never made a bad decision in their life. Because they never made their own decision.
And they never shamed you. You know, they never made any failings. And then they go and they either become the controller or the controlled.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because that was a key element of normal.
Hey, Brittany here. Yes, you normally hear me on The Kylo Show, but I am interrupting The Kylo Show right now to tell you about my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, is coming out Mother's Day. So check that out. But before that, I've got a conference happening. I know, at the beginning of May. May's going to be great. So if you want to come to the conference with all of my friends, Lauren and Jason Valentin, Danny Silk, all these wonderful people are coming. Make sure you go to imperfectparenting.co to find out the details, and hopefully I see you there. Which is the scary part, what you're building in your home is so much of what the culture your children will replicate in one way or another, and paying attention to, I think, your parenting styles. Like, my default is I can become super aggressive. I can become the controlling. And I can already see, like, okay, one of my daughters, she's comfortable with me doing that to her. So I have to be aware of, okay, let me empower. I'm sitting on my hands. I'm not telling you the answers. Leave me alone. You know,
I have socks in my mouth. I'm just, so I can stop
okay,
talking.
Okay, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. And it's, there's still this helping, but because that's my natural, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who, she is wired similar to my daughter. And she said, I leaned on my sister, who was the outgoing, the strong personality, and I didn't develop these things. And, they're twins. And so she didn't have to because she just kind of got in with her everywhere she went. And so when when one got married and the other one didn't, she's like, well, I don't have any friends. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to make this happen. So she went and went to a different country, tried to discover herself, like, can I do this? Do I have this? And we were just talking about this next year and coming up, and she was telling me this next year is going to be the hardest year for her.
Delaney's life.
Yeah. Because she's used to your strong leadership. And even though I'm aware of these things and I'm trying so desperately to inspire her to just do it, she likes that strong leadership, which if she can find a healthy, strong person to attach herself to, it's going to be amazing. They're going to bring out the best. But she needs healthy.
Yeah.
She can't just find someone that wants to be in charge and control, because then it'll be real painful and messy and no fun for all of us, likely. But thankfully, I think we've done that a little bit. We dabbled there for a second, and I think she learned. Oh, I don't like that.
She learned that the hard way already.
She did. Time. She didn't. You know, again, happy to do it now rather than married.
Later. Yeah.
But just having that perspective and being aware that I can become that. You know, Ben's is more passive, or he's even, you know, uninvolved. He kind of goes on autopilot sometimes. And that was the early years of our marriage, was he just kind of autopilot and in some areas, but he's probably more passive because he was afraid to get in my way. That was our other big battle. And, you know, I think that's the style, but there's all these other little variations. Like I said, the helicopter drill sergeant, you called something
snowplow.
I've never heard of that one. Have you heard of that?
Snowplow parent is the one who pushes it's kind of based on hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times. Pushing all the obstacles, pushing all the difficulties, pushing all the challenges out of the way of the kids so the road is perfectly smooth and there's no slippery, slidey. They've got all of that piled up somewhere else and the kids get to just go on through without ever facing a challenge.
Yeah, that's very much a helicopter parent as well, to swoop in and save the kid from their consequences and their decisions. And
never let them get hurt.
Super capable parent that just disempowers their child left and right in the best intentions.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I love you so much. I'm so afraid.
Yes. I'm so uncomfortable when you suffer.
Yeah.
That I'll save you from all of that.
And whenever I've had that, my daughter had this time. I don't know if I told you the story. She lost her earring, a diamond earring that her grandma gave her. Mm. And when she came out crying to tell us this, she looks outside. She has aerial silks, these two ribbon things that hang down. She has acrobats. And her puppy has chewed them up. The whole bottom, he's chewing them right now. So she's already hurting because she lost grandma's earring. It's probably, she thinks it's down the sink. Then she sees this. She is out of her mind, sad, losing it. We run out
big
there.
Big emotions all over the place.
I'm with her. She's there. And I hear thoughts in my head going, just rescue her. Just, it's not a big deal. We can buy some more on Amazon. It's not a problem. No sweat, my girl. We'll just go in and order them right now. They're not that expensive. And I hear all these thoughts and I hear the Lord going, don't you dare do that. And I'm like, so I resist.
You're fighting with the Lord. Why?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying trying to save my girl from the pain. She's in so much pain. I'm like, how can I just make her feel better? And I felt him like, no, no, no. So we go inside. She lays in bed crying. I rub her back. She wants mom. I get Lauren. Lauren comes in, rubs her back, and all of a sudden, after a while, she comes out and goes, you know what? I could just cut the bottoms off my silks. They're a little long anyway. They get dirty. I can sew them up. And she's solving her problem on her own. Mm-hmm. And I was going, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't avoid the difficult emotions, the big I was there with her. I was present. I was in it as a support, but I wasn't going to fix it and solve it and try to throw money at it even. Like, oh, we can throw money at a lot of things and just push challenges out. But I was like, wow, I'm so glad I listened to the Lord on that. Then she found her earring too. So I was like, oh, it went great at the end. That wasn't a guarantee in there, but she came. It was so cool to watch her emotionally adapt, I think is the term, emotionally adapt, emotionally come through it, come out of it and solve her own problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
Well, I think the other thing I'm hearing too is the Lord said, let me help her.
Yeah.
And you got out of the way. And the Lord's like, well, I want my stuff back. You know, I want my knife back. That story. Mm-hmm. If you don't know it, you don't know it. But if you do, great story.
Mm-hmm. If you know, you know.
Yep.
Yep.
But, you know, she gets her earring back and she's problem solving, which who knows if the Lord gave her that revelation. Like, you know, you actually needed to cut them. It was probably better for you.
Yeah.
But the other one I was thinking about as far as variations of parenting is the attachment parenting. Is that like the codependent parent of like, you are my source, I give everything for you, or is that still blended with a helicopter parent?
Attachment? I mean, I think that that term is not necessarily codependent as much as it's focused on connection.
It is, okay.
You know, focused on bonding, it's focused on trust, you know, those types of elements. So, I mean, much of love and logic comes out of attachment theory, attachment work.
I've heard that part, but I wasn't sure if it was like, I always, when I read that, I was thinking all of the empty nested moms that don't know what to do or function because their attachment was always on the kids. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what, when I see that, that's what I think of is I just made my life about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is some of the codependency stuff as well as some of the identity crisis
sure.
that happens when I'm not a parent. You know, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not a dad. I'm not a mom. I'm a person.
Sure.
But I'm a person with no children. Who is that person? That, you know, that is a crisis really yeah. for a lot of folks. And
I think that's what I see a lot of women that are coming to me. They've got an unhealthy attachment in their identity to their kids mm-hmm. and a pretty messed up marriage in the process.
Well, you've seen they've almost replaced their spouse with the kid emotionally.
In a lot of relationally, ways, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, well, in a disconnected marriage, it's not hard to replace it with somebody who really likes you and enjoys you and appreciates mm-hmm. you and, you know,
and values
and
you.
You're bonded and they protect their connection all with you. It's mm-hmm. The person that goes and adopts some toddlers when their kids are 15, mm-hmm. you know, or. Here you go. This will keep you in that space for a very long time mm-hmm. because you keep fueling the role, and it never leaves you alone with yourself. You know. So I mean, there is all of that. That's
I just didn't know if that there. is that a parenting style or that's just a you've gone off the deep end identity.
Well, I mean, some people just want to do that.
Yeah.
They just want to do that for their whole life, and that's I'm good at this. Hmm. I don't want to go do something else. I want to do this. Like I think if you're in ministry and you're in ministry when you're 80, mm-hmm. you're like I don't want to go do something else. I've heard people say I'm not going to retire.
Yeah.
I love what I do. I get paid to do what I love to do. I'm not going to retire. You're like, okay, well there you have it. You just keep going. And there's really no, I mean, if you keep adopting children or you keep in foster care or something, there's no natural end to that role.
Yeah.
If you do have children, there is a natural end because they go be adults. Mm-hmm. And that changes dramatically. You know, you try any of these parenting styles with your adult children.
It's a different game.
Yeah. And if it's not entirely focused on the connection and empowering, you're going to find yourself home alone on Thanksgiving because adults don't like being treated like children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think everything I've read about attachment sounds more like, hey, make sure you're connected to your kids before you're just trying to correct everything. And if you're having trouble correcting, you need to go back and start attaching to them. Like, what do you guys have in common? Go watch a movie together and rebuild some of your relationship before you go talking to them about their failing grade, or, you know, like,
sure.
I think it done in a healthy way. It feels to me very similar to like, hey, connection is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, yeah. You're trying to discipline everybody, but you have zero connection.
Yeah.
They're just putting up walls to you, mm-hmm. not listening. That's what I've learned of attachment.
Good. I was reading in the lineup of all the other ones. I'm like, it's attachment. All I think about is all of this.
Unhealthy attachments.
Yeah, all the unhealthy attachments. And then love and logic attachment. I'm like, that was all the word theory at the end of it. So I was trying to figure out, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe you're the word enmeshment is, you know, kind of the negative side of that, mm-hmm. which is 1 + 1 = 1.
Yeah,
and that's a recipe for some pretty
mm-hmm.
tough consequences.
Yeah,
you know, that's you need me in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't do this without me.
You need me in your life, yeah. And I need you in my life. And so it'd be best if we do get married that, you know, that we both really enjoy your husband because he's going to live with us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that kind of an ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are scary situations.
Those are scary.
So what's, what's the highlights and or the key principles of engaged parenting?
Well, like we talked about before, just the empowerment, the self-control, self-aware. I love the phrase, a parent with a plan is a powerful parent. I think that when you're got those components, the level of engagement you're able to give, you get to give your best self to this kid instead of this triggered, overly emotional, scared, panicky parent to a responsive
reactive
totally, mm-hmm. you know, sharpies mm-hmm. to the couch or slime in the hair. I mean, we didn't have slime when I was a kid, but we had Play-Doh. But
bubblegum.
Bubblegum. I think that comes out a little easier with peanut butter than slime. Slime's pretty nasty, but it is the and all of that focused around connection and boundaries as key components of this. For me, working with lots of parents, boundaries seems to be one of the hardest pieces to master without either crossing the line into punishment or under-delivering in your consistency. You know, so you say there's a boundary with if you don't do the dishes, you can't go to the birthday party. But you're melting down because you realize your best friend's birthday party. Okay, well, don't do it again. Okay, I mean it this time. And then, so you just create these patterns of inconsistency. I think that being able to be more consistent in that. And again, connection is another really hard component because it feels, I don't think any parent would say they want to be conditional with their connection. But a lot of times it's driven out of your performance of me feeling like you were fun to be around or nice or not disrespectful or, you know, that disrespect is a big trigger for parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a hard kid, you know, I think that's always heartbreaking for me is when there's one kid that you understand, you get, you connect with, and the other one's hard for you, that pursuit of connection is very different. And so I think being engaged is bringing your best self to your parenting game. That's the goal of what I'm trying to display and set new standards for families chasing after some key areas.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of words, but I'm still practicing how to figure out how we say this because there's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in that book and I'm excited about it, but I think I only know how to live on display. So that's a lot of what this book is taking all the things that I've done right and taking all the things we've done wrong. So don't do this, okay? Skip this one.
Which is why I call imperfect.
Imperfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip this one. Just remember, it's not worth it right here.
Yeah.
But again, we've almost got an adult child, so that'll be another book, how to do it connected.
Yeah.
Really, you should write that one, but.
No, I'm a grandparent.
Oh.
Grandparents.
No more parenting books for
99.9% of the time, I'm the good guy. Mm-hmm. And if I ever run into a no, you're going to have to ask your mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's mom. Yeah,
that's funny.
That's nice.
It is. But, I mean, I don't even have that kind of relationship with my dog. You know, it's just like these kids are awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, they're lots of fun. Well, I do love that. You know, Seth and I are wired differently, but we have a lot of the same values and passions when it comes to families. Mm-hmm. We've talked about before. You know, Ben and I have a harder bend on relationships and stuff like that, where Seth's got a harder bent on the supernatural component and being able to bring him on our platform and assist. I think, you know, you've written all the supernatural development, releasing, empowering, identifying. Those are your gifts for families and parenting. Yeah. And I think that's another level of engagement, is knowing how to bring heaven to earth with your family. And
I think this stuff is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Like, some of my language I would put to what you're saying is like, the Lord is our ever-present help in time of need. Like, mm-hmm. he's engaged. He's ready to engage all the time. And like, that's what I think is like, yeah, you're present, mm-hmm. very present.
Yeah.
They need you. Something's going on. You're there. You have a plan. You're working through it. Not passive, not controlling, but
I think there's a sense of our children see their value and priority in our life as the components of our family. I think that's the ultimate goal, is that they've seen us model our relationship with the Father, and we're doing the best to replicate that, which is, I have high value for this relationship, and you are a priority that I'm going to direct my life towards and protect.
Yeah,
and I think that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah,
is that mm-hmm. the end of it? My kids are madly in love with Jesus and madly in love with us, mm-hmm. and healthy people.
And they are really in love with each other.
Yeah.
Which is something that not a lot of families get to enjoy, is the care and intentionality around the quality of relationship they have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Brene Brown talks about, she has a audiobook. I don't remember what it's called. Something like The Gifts of Imperfection, mm-hmm. Parenting. It must be like a talk that she does, because it's not a book anywhere. It's just this like 4-hour audiobook thingy.
I think it was a long message she gave somewhere.
Yeah. And I loved it. It was great. But one of the things that just, I don't know, just really stood out to me that I've held on to for all these years, is she talks about sibling relationships are some of the most intimate relationships that our kids will ever actually have. Mm-hmm. Like, they see it all in a way that our friends or our peers will never see. And they have the opportunity to be our longest covenant relationships,
mm-hmm.
Because they're from way early on. You know, they don't come and go quite as much as friends, or...
And they'll usually be around after the parents are gone, too.
Usually, yeah. And so that's the lifespan that they could have with one another, could be this beautiful relationship. And I just think, wow, imagine if my kids just loved being around each other for their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome would that be,
yeah,
of what they could bring to each other? So,
that's yeah, and that's pretty hard to convey to a spouse, is how important this relationship is to me, because it becomes a competitor,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there is this depth and richness and unique soul tie. I mean, when you survive
your childhood together,
nobody went through what you two went through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, I mean, when Johnny and I get together, we get to telling stories about our childhood, and we are so different, and yet, bam, we are bonded
in the
deepest part of us. We're just looking at each other, laughing, because we're we're trying to describe the thing, and the other person knows what we're trying to describe, and it's just so rich.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah. So I think it's engaged parenting, which is really that you create an engaged family.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the goal. So that's the heart behind it. You know, we'll keep marching along talking about engaged parenting, and I mean, really, it all. I just got to take all the best of your book and make it into a new parenting book.
There you go.
That's pretty much all. I just
live it out for a long time.
Next gen.
Stop and listen, and I was like, I'm gonna take that from there. I'm gonna take this from over there. You know, sprinkle a little of that in there. Yeah, that's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Seth, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been good to be here.
Thanks for coming to town. Thanks for helping me sound awesome on our podcast. It's super fun. We have lots of fun.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about what Seth's doing, where do they go?
SpiritLedFamilies.world.
.world.
The .com was taken, so.
.world.
.world.
Okay, it's that'd be fitting. The first time I've heard that one.
.world.
There's
all
a
right.
lot of them now.
Really?
Mm-hmm, of course.
We have Whole Healthy Families are going to say the world. He's just got .world.
Yeah.
.world.
Yeah.
So if you haven't caught on yet, we've got some global vision around here. Yeah, and
absolutely.
We run with amazing people.
We need millions of families.
We do.
Engaged.
We do.
Engaged. Millions. Uh-huh. So society gets
And
better.
You don't need to be perfect. Just come to us imperfect and we'll just work on it together.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us on The Kylie Show. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylie Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekylieshow.com. The Kylie Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Crystal Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.